actually, of false statements on Bill Ayers. Maybe they don't think of false statements as lying, but I think it's a safe bet that the American public would. Mr. Lott, it's a pleasure to talk to you here on the Michael Medved Show.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
So you've heard this claim, obviously, from your column, that McCain doesn't have a whole lot of proof when it comes to this idea that, Obama has ever lied about his association with Bill Ayers. When would you say the first, if you can remember, the first Obama lie about his association with Bill Ayers took place?
Well, I think there were some troubling comments that he made when he was first asked about it by George Stephanopoulos in the Democratic primary debate back in April. It's the first time that he's on record as having been asked about it. And as I said, there are numerous problems. You can go through, I can read you the quote where he says, "This is a guy who lives in my neighborhood, who's a professor of English in Chicago, who I know and who I have not received some official endorsement from. He's not somebody who I exchange ideas from on a regular basis." And then he goes on, and he says, "In the notion that somehow, as a consequence of me knowing somebody who engaged in detestable acts 40 years ago when I was 8 years old, somehow reflects on me and my values doesn't make much sense, George. The fact is, I'm also friendly with Tom Coburn, one of the most conservative Republicans in the U.S. Senate, who during his campaign once said that it might be appropriate to apply the death penalty to those who carried out abortions." Anyway, it's particularly in the beginning of this where there's the most troubling statements. One where he says, "I've not received some official endorsement." He may not have received a public endorsement in the current presidential race, but Ayers not only donated multiple times, the last time that I know of that he made a donation was in 2000 to Obama's campaigns, but he made the first donation in 1995. And, of course, is well known to people now, he had that infamous get-together in Ayers' living room where Ayers introduced him to people in the Chicago area, politically connected people, to help get his first campaign going. So the fact that you go and hold a fundraiser, go and donate money to somebody over multiple years, I would think at least shows some level of endorsement, whether or not, it's true that, it's true there's no official public endorsement for the presidential race.
My guess is that was requested.
I wouldn't be surprised. It's hard to know. There's nothing on the record there, but what you're saying surely seems plausible. And then this other notion is somebody who I've not exchanged ideas with on a regular basis. I mean, these were people who served on two different boards, one board for 9 years, another board for 7 years. In fact, they had an employee-employer relationship on one of the boards, the Chicago Annenberg Challenge, which gave out $100 million to groups dealing with education issues, where Ayers, who was the founder of the foundation, essentially had a founder leadership role in the foundation, and Obama was chairman of the financial aspects of the foundation. And so one assumes that at least on educational issues, they would have had to agree, and presumably they would have had to talk about those things over time in their retreats that they went on together. There are other things that have been documented that they went through.
And Obama wrote a book review of his book on, of Ayers' book on juvenile justice.
Right. But, you know, it would seem like if I was an employee for somebody, even if I didn't talk to them every day, I would have discussed issues with them regularly. And surely, at least on the education issue, they would have had to concede, I would think, that they had exchanged ideas on that on a somewhat regular basis over those 9 years that they worked together in the Chicago Annenberg Challenge. There have been some discussions about the fact that Ayers and Obama only appeared officially at six of the board meetings together. But there's issues with that. Many of the board meetings don't record whether anybody attended the board meetings or not. There are many of the board meetings where there were no notes taken at all. And beyond that, when you have an employer-employee relationship, surely there's many types of contacts people have outside of official boardrooms.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, you also point out that Obama has said publicly, and his campaign's been reaffirming this, that he just didn't know about Ayers' background until later. And I think that that stretches the bounds of credibility, because we know that the Ayers is prominent in Chicago. We know that there's been numerous reports. We know that because of his comments after September 11th, they were all over the news. The idea that Obama wouldn't know after having all these experiences with him, I can't believe anybody believes it.
Right. Well, I mean, there's multiple reasons for being suspect about that. If you go and do database news searches on William Ayers and his wife, in terms of the news coverage that they received, these people were very frequently in the news during the mid-90s. You can literally find from like 93 to 95 several dozen news stories that appeared in places like the New York Times, USA Today, national publications. In fact, in 1993, Bernadette Dorn had a long feature story in the New York Times that did a profile on her, kind of where 1960 radicals were. But even more interesting is that the 1996 Democratic presidential convention was in Chicago. Obviously, there were lots of comparisons to the 1968 presidential convention, where it had previously been in Chicago when there were riots. People like William Ayers and his wife were involved in many of those. And so there was a lot of news coverage in the Chicago Tribune and Sun-Times that would mention their past involvement, would mention the radical activities that they did after that, and go and talk about and get their perspectives on how they viewed the convention coming back to Chicago at that time.
Well, hold on right there, because speaking of exchange of ideas, I understand that you actually know Barack Obama. You've met him. We'll talk about that experience and more on Bill Ayers coming up here on the Michael Medved Show.
The Medved studio lines are sponsored by eFax. eFax is the global leader in online faxing. For a free trial, go to www.efax.com. Click the radio TV tab and type in Medved.
Welcome back to the Michael Medved Show. Our guest is Dr. John Lott, Jr., author of Freedomnomics and More Guns, Less Crime. He's written a column, Barack Obama's Pattern of False Statements on Bill Ayers, because the mainstream press seems to think that the McCain camp is lying when they say Obama was lying about his association with Ayers. But all of the available evidence is actually to the contrary, despite what the New York Times would have us believe. And just before the break, Professor Lott, I was mentioning that you actually know Barack Obama. You met at the college.
Right. Well, we were both at the University of Chicago. I was first in the business school, and then I taught in the law school and I was there for like 5 years. And he was a lecturer there. And I don't know, there were probably couple dozen times or whatever that we exchanged words. I saw him at a couple seminars. I ran and talked to people that were nearby him. One of the things, though, is that the conversations all tend to be extremely short when I was involved with them. The first time I met him, I went over, introduced myself. He said, "Oh, you're the gun guy." And I said, "Yeah, I guess so." And he said, "I don't believe people should be able to own guns." And I knew he was working with helping out the
university. Wait, let's repeat that, because Obama says he believes now that the Second Amendment preserves an individual right to keep and bear arms. In fact, Joe Biden, whose helicopters are constantly being shot down by Frosty the Snowman, has affirmed that Barack Obama is not trying to take away guns. And you're telling me that the first thing you remember Obama saying to you was...
Yeah, he said, "I do not believe people should be able to own guns."
Okay.
I mean, it's actually, kind of, if we just take the gun issue for a second, Here's a guy that when the Supreme Court decision came down in, at the end of June, said that the Supreme Court was merely confirming his own position on guns, that he believed that it was an individual right, that he had always believed that it was, and that he apparently opposed the D.C. gun ban. The problem is you can find him making numerous statements prior to the Supreme Court decision where he said that he supported the D.C. gun ban. There are interviews that he did before the so-called Potomac primaries in the spring involving Maryland, Virginia, and D.C., where he was interviewed on TV about that, and he said quite firmly and emphatically that it was in favor of the ban. You have statements in the Chicago Tribune last fall. But overall, Obama has, there's no doubt that he's the most anti-gun presidential candidate that's ever been nominated. In 1996, there was a candidate issue statement when he was first running for the state Senate saying that he supported a ban on handguns. In 1998, there was a similar candidate statement saying that he supported a ban on semi-automatic guns. He supported legislation that would ban the sale of guns within 5 miles of any school or park, essentially banning virtually guns from being sold any place in virtually all the states in the United States. You know, there's many other types of similar statements that one could go through on that, but often he's gone and he said, for example, in the 96 statement, that it was an error by a staffer who had incorrectly filled out the form. The problem was later on, Politico, the internet political news operation, got a hold of a copy of the actual candidate statement form, and they found his handwritten notes on the copy that was there. The Chicago Tribune statement that came out last fall, again, he blamed that on a staffer error, a so-called inartful attempt by a staffer to characterize his position.
Well, now,
as
can,
I say,
now you
can
say
go
that
and find him his own statements on videotape where he is saying that this year.
Right. Now he could just say he had an Acorn staffer fill it out for him. They're pretty good at forgery. They're actually not so hot. But he also wrote this book review for Bill Ayers that we were talking about earlier. And I was wondering, I haven't seen a hard copy of it, but surely on the dust jacket, there's an about the author portion on Bill Ayers. Does it not mention anything about his past in radicalism and terrorism?
I haven't looked at the
That's what I want to know. I can't get my hands on a hard copy, and I want to see one of the old ones to see if the book that Obama was reviewing may have mentioned something.
I could just make one other comment about my interaction.
Oh, absolutely.
With Obama,
sure.
And that is when he made the statement about believing that people shouldn't be able to own guns, I said, well, you know, maybe we can get together for lunch and we can talk about it. And because I knew he was also supportive of the Chicago suit against the gun makers. And he just grimaced and turned around and walked away. And that was the end of the conversation. And that's the way many conversations went that I had with him. And I believe just in general, he really disliked talking to people that he regarded as conservatives.
He didn't even say goodbye. He just grimaced and turned around? Or
right.
did he say no thanks? Or
no, he just turned around and walked away.
Not even the usual polite, yeah, we'll do that sometime.
No, I mean, and there were cases in later years where I would reach out to shake his hand and he would just refuse to my hand. You know, there was one seminar, for example, where he had asked a question. He only went to a couple of seminars the entire time he was there. He didn't do any research or anything. He was basically brought in just to teach, and as I understood, as a way to let him run for public office. It was kind of understood that that's what he was going to do to begin with, because if you're only teaching 3 hours a week and you're not having to do any research, it gives you a lot of flexible time to go and campaign for office. But he had asked a question in a seminar, and I don't think anybody understood what the question was. I thought I did. And so after the seminar, I went up to him and I said, you know, I think it was an interesting question. I think you could have rephrased it a little bit differently. And again, he just turned his back to me and started talking to somebody else. And it wasn't so much that he just disagreed. I really got the impression that he believed that I was evil because I had different views. I think I'm particularly on the gun issue.
Well, this is really a fascinating. I want to get more into this and find out more about your experiences, but I want to squeeze a quick call in before the next break. Tyrone in Philadelphia, welcome to the Michael Medved Show. You're on with John Lott.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, I want to say one thing. You know, you speak in evil about this person and that person, but when you speak evil about a person who's walking around free, you're speaking evil against the law. And you are judging the law. If the law, the law's job is to lock up criminals. So when your argument is really, a moot point, because if the law allows any individual to walk around, you, as an American, can engage that individual socially. So you have a moot point. What you're doing is you're judging
Tyrone,
the law.
Tyrone, you're saying so much here that deserves a response. I want to hold you over, and we'll get a better idea of exactly how you think we should act toward certain people who are allowed to walk free in our society and whether or not it's a good idea to socialize it with them. We'll talk more on The Michael Medved Show.
The Michael Medved Studio is sponsored.
Welcome back to The Michael Medved Show. David Bowes.